everybody, and welcome to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are happy to be queer to answer your questions. I'm Gina.
And I'm Cheyenne.
And class is now in session. Today, we are going to cover the topic of pansexuality. So shout out to our bisexual episode, but we are getting into the nuance of pansexuality today.
I know we had a lot of listeners for the bisexual episode, and I feel like we'll have a lot of listeners tuning into this one just because there is a lot of like overlap in the identities, and it's like a good conversation.
Yeah, I feel like when I first came out, bisexual was a word that made the most sense to me because I felt like sexually fluid. And if I'm being totally honest, I don't even know if it was the word that made the most sense, but it was the word that was accepted and used
and available,
like common and available.
Yeah.
And you like, it wasn't, if you heard bisexual, you didn't have to explain to somebody what that was. They understood what that was, where I don't feel like pansexual was there at that point. And I even think today it depends on who, like what state and person and area you're like speaking to. But I do think pansexual is more known and available now, which is why I think for me, for a while I identified as bisexual, and then I kind of said it as like, well, I'm bisexual, more like pansexual. It was almost like an asterisk that I used as like a, I'm just sexually open, I guess. But like, I don't know that I would use the word pansexual to describe my sexuality depending on the space I'm in. And this is something I've realized about myself is that like, I will kind of change the way I describe my sexuality depending on the audience. So like when I'm with a bunch of queer people, I think I will use pansexual or maybe even just like queer. I don't know. But when I'm with straight people, I'm more likely to just say I'm a lesbian or just say I'm gay, which to be honest, if someone really was like, what's your sexuality? I'd rather just be like, I'm gay because it is ambiguous. And then I don't have to explain how I feel about men. Like they can like men aren't in the equation for me. And like, I think there's different levels of pansexuality. So for other people, that's not the case.
What level like, of pansexuality would you say you are specifically? Like, can you elaborate on how you interpret the levels? Obviously everyone's definitions are going to be different, but I was wondering what yours is.
So for me, pansexual is kind of like alluding to the fact that like gender is a social construct. And so like, I guess for me, pansexual in a way is like, I'm a lesbian in except for certain situations. And I really don't feel like explaining to you what those specific situations are. So I'm just going to say pansexual, you meaning like the crowd. Like I will obviously explain to you, Cheyenne, what those situations are, but like, it's kind of hard. I don't always know how to define my sexuality, to be honest. And that's why I like default to pan sometimes, because it is this just like, well,
it's person specific.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
It is person specific because I'm not going to say that. And you know what, you know, what's annoying is that I don't want to keep relying on the five or however many men that I do genuinely feel attracted to define my sexuality. And I don't want to say I'm a lesbian because I don't think that's accurate. I'm not bisexual. I don't know. Like that doesn't feel like the right word either. So pansexual for me is kind of like a default of like, I'm gay in a way that this word I think will kind of make you understand what it is. But that's why in straight places, I just say that I'm gay because I don't feel like explaining the asterisk behind pansexuality because it does mean something different to everybody.
Yeah. And you definitely like,
I don't even know if any of that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I feel like I didn't even hear the word pansexual until maybe end of high school, maybe beginning of college, like on Tumblr. It really wasn't as well known as it is now. It was like, even like asexual, I had to explain what that meant to someone the other day. And I feel like that's just starting to become a little bit more mainstream in the vernacular, whereas pansexual is like a little ahead of that in terms of like people understanding it. But I think it is starting to like become a part of our like lexicon a bit more. And like, thought I was pansexual. I thought I was bisexual when I was with a man because I was like, well, I like him and I like women, but you know, I'm with him. I must like him. Like I've been with him for a while. And then pansexuality came about and I was like, yeah, I feel like I could, it could be either for me. And I think there is a lot of overlap between bisexual and pansexual, and it's just whatever feels right to that person as a way of describing who you are and what you're attracted to. I don't think like it's necessarily bad to identify one way or another or exclusionary or anything like that. And if you think that way, you should come back and listen next week. We have our episode with Jen Winston, where we talk a lot about bisexuality and like divorcing from the binary. But yeah, I ultimately landed at lesbian for me, of course, but it was really hard for me to tell because I was like, well, I don't really see the difference in those two words for myself. So how do I know which one to identify as? And I think it all just comes down to like comfort and feeling like seen and the way you communicate. Like I definitely get your point about using different words for different groups of people. Like I will say I'm a lesbian to a lot of people, especially if like straight men are hitting on me, they get hit with the word lesbian. Or I'll use like gay for certain groups. I don't use dyke when I'm talking to straight people because I don't want to give them permission to call me that. But like I will use that with other lesbians, other sapphics, other queer people. But so it just, we're all like defining ourselves in different ways and they mean different things, but also kind of the same thing. And it just depends on like context and our personal point of view.
Yeah, no, fully. And I feel like the word lesbian, I will use it because I am in a lesbian relationship and I do take up space in the lesbian world. But I often, if I actually refer to myself as a lesbian, I feel a lot of like imposter syndrome from that because like, I don't think at the end of the day, that is accurate for me. But bisexual felt more accurate at a different time in my life for me, where I was more open to men and like maybe my preference has changed. And I will be honest in saying a lot of that is societal. If men weren't who they are,
the way they are
and doing what they're doing. And like, if there wasn't a patriarchy, I guess is what I'm trying to say, I don't know how I'd feel about men. Like I really truly don't, but also I don't live where there's not a patriarchy. I live in the patriarchy and that has greatly influenced how I feel about men. And I, so like when I was still more open to men, bisexual felt more accurate or even pansexual because I really was open to like everybody. I'm not open to everybody right now. Like that's not, but it's more like, I don't feel like walking around being like, oh, my sexuality is pansexual with a hard preference, because then people want like more information than that. And like, that's what kind of sucks, I think, with bisexual and pansexual is that because there's so many different meanings, I think people like to ask, well, what does that mean for you? And like, that's a very intimate question to ask me. Whereas like you, I'm not saying that lesbians and gay men don't get, you know, interrogated and questioned and whatever, in the same way everyone else in the queer community does. But I do feel like if someone's like, oh, I'm a lesbian, there's not the follow-up of like, well, what does that mean? It's like, well, it means I fucking like women, get away from me. Whereas like pansexual, it's like, oh, well, what doors are open still? And I don't like having to explain that because then people have like, have a say. And I'm like, stop it. Like even gay people, straight people, they'll be like, well, you did this, or well, what about that? I'm like, who the fuck are you to tell me? I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like the vagueness is like a blessing and a curse, depending on who you are. Like you don't want to go in depth, but maybe some people welcome that conversation and that opportunity to like let people know them in that intimate way and discuss sexuality and stuff like that. But it is very tiring to be like educating people constantly. So I totally get that. I did have a question about something you said. So I know this is something you've said before. I've seen this argument online and I don't necessarily agree with it. I'm just curious. So you say that you're in a lesbian relationship, but I've seen people say that if you're bisexual or pansexual or queer or whatever, like it doesn't necessarily have to be considered like a lesbian relationship because you're both women. if that makes sense. And I don't know how your girlfriend identifies, like, her sexuality, but, like, if you were, like, two bisexuals, that could still be a bisexual relationship or sapphic, you know. And I'm not saying that, like, lesbian is the wrong terminology, because I do think, like, generally that is the term to refer to that kind of relationship. But it is interesting to think, like, why do we call it that if it's two pansexual people in a relationship or two bisexual people in a relationship? Like, why does it automatically get?
That fully makes sense to me, honestly. I think that my girlfriend and I choose to call our relationship a lesbian relationship. Okay. Like, we actively call it that, or, like, we will refer to, like, when we're doing things together as, like, us as lesbians, even though, that's not absolutely accurate. I think, to be technical, we both identify as pansexual, although I think we both kind of have similar similar preferences. Mm-hmm. I won't speak totally for her, but, like, we're not that far off in how we feel, while there are, like, nuanced differences. So technically our relationship could be considered pansexual. And maybe even when we first met, I'd be more willing to call it that. But, like, we feel like we're in a lesbian relationship. And, like, if we're going to be non-monogamous, like, men are not quite invited necessarily. Yeah. Yeah. And, but that's the thing. Like, it does kind of depend, but
you want to be with queer people. You want to be with other queer people.
We do. We want to be with other queer people. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's hard. It's just, like, it is really nuanced. It's really nuanced, all of it. So,
and I think
other people could say they're in a pansexual relationship. Sorry, yeah.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, I know there's also a lot of, like, discourse, mostly online. I have not run into this in real life. About who can call themselves a lesbian, who can call themselves bisexual, what that means. And I know you and I have talked about that before, because people will tell you what to identify as based off of your preference or how you live your life or whatever. But, like, I know historically speaking, there wasn't really a word for bisexual or pansexual or queer in that way. So it was lesbian, no matter if you were a woman who was with men and women or people of any gender experience of the time, like, the word was, like, lesbian, no matter what. And then bisexual kind of started to become popular, and then now pansexual and queer and all these, like, different, I guess, subcategories of sexuality have come about. And it's just, like, a way to more accurately describe our experience and, like, kind of pinpoint and narrow it down and communicate to people our preferences and who we are. But I know some people can find that kind of, like, reductive and, like, putting yourself into a box too much. And I think it just, whatever feels best to you. If you need to use those words to find community and to communicate, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I do think a lot of it does fall under, like, the bisexual, pansexual, overall queer umbrella, because that is, like, the largest part of our community.
Oh, 100%. I think you could even just use the term, like, sexually fluid to describe like, all these people. And one of our, you know, our first question here even is, what's the difference between bisexuality and pansexuality? I think that difference is going to be, like, different depending on the person you're talking to. You can talk about the differences in the actual origins of the word, whereby is technically meaning two. That doesn't necessarily refer to two genders in today's society, but it can refer to the attraction to your gender and other genders. Whereas pansexuality is kind of, like, again, the origin of the word. Pan is, like, everything, everyone, all encompassing. So it's, like, you have the ability to be sexual attracted to anybody. Now, I don't know that there's, like, a difference colloquially in, like, terms of how somebody's identifying. So if somebody says that they're bisexual or pansexual, they might have the same identity. They might have different things. Two pansexual people could describe themselves differently. Same with two bisexuals. So I don't think there's a huge difference in the way that they're used every day, especially because bisexuality and pansexuality are going to mean something different to each person who's choosing to identify that way. So the only real difference for me is, number one, the origin of the word from just, you know, it's, like, Latin meaning or whatever. And also just how commonly they are used. Cause, like you said, you didn't really hear pansexual till later. Same for myself. I don't think that was really used until I was, like, in maybe even out of college, if not in college, when I really heard and understood it. And so I think the biggest difference is that we've heard bisexual for a lot longer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And we kind of already answered why pansexuals don't feel comfortable using the word bisexual, which is another question we got. And it just all comes down to preference, and it comes down to what feels best for them. And I think honestly, sometimes it can come down to the stigma of bisexuality and biphobia and needing to unlearn that. Not always, of course, but I think at times it can come down to that. And I think for some people, like, their sexuality might more accurately be described by pansexuality, but because it is a little bit of a newer term being used, maybe they feel like, oh, that's not a real thing. Like, I'm just bisexual, whatever. I don't know what people are thinking in their minds, but I think it could go either way. Why pansexuals wouldn't want to use the word bisexual, or why bisexuals wouldn't want to use the word pansexual, even if it might be a better fit or whatever. Like, I don't know. I think if it fits, it fits.
Yeah. And everything I think is different depending on how you heard things growing up and stuff. Like, I had a coworker who I don't work with anymore, but he was not that much older than me, but I guess enough that he was queer when queer was like derogatory still, which is like one of my favorite things about language is how it can evolve in that way, that like queer used to be literally just as bad as saying the F slur or calling somebody a dyke. And now now you can say queer at a work meeting and it's like totally fine. But he was still kind of triggered by that word. And so like I was trying to do like some activity and I was like, oh, what should we call it? Like Queer's Corner. So like, I was trying to like, you know, come up with something cutesy. And he was like, I really don't like the word queer. And I was like, why? And he was like, I don't know. Like, what I think it is like somebody probably called him that when he was growing up in a way that he didn't feel good.
Weaponized afterwards. Against him.
Right. Which would never happen now. Like if somebody called me a queer, I'd be like, you better put big fat in front of that. Like, hell yeah. It's just so different now. And I feel like there's different words that are different things you hear when different people tell you they're bisexual or pansexual. And that I think will ebb and flow as well, because I think there's like all those negative stereotypes around bisexuals that were more of a thing, they're not as much of a thing anymore. I don't think the stereotype of like, oh, bisexuals are cheaters is as much of a thing. But if you think about it, I feel like we got that reputation because we were all in these heterosexual relationships we didn't want to be in. And then we ended up like going outside of it, which like, have I done that? Yeah.
Right. Does that but not mean all that bisexuals like do that? I was a lesbian and I did the same thing, you know, like,
or I think am a that's more of a commentary. I a yeah. I think that's more of a commentary on comp het than bisexuals and, like, toxic being monogamy. Promiscuous. And yeah. And so like pansexual and bisexual have like meant so many different things throughout time, that same thing with even the word queer or whatever, that there's different reasons why people wouldn't want to attach themselves to it.
Yeah. When you brought up the queer thing, that reminded me, I was reading a conversation on Twitter or something online recently about whether or not queer should be used or queer is a slur. And like we said, it all comes down to like personal experience and whether or not you feel comfortable being called that. But they made a good point that I feel like when we were growing up, gay was more derogatory. Like, I didn't hear anyone get called a queer, but
well, Hillary Duff fixed that for us. Don't you remember
that?
She
fixed it, but before that, it was rough.
But it's no, like, that was really true, though. You're right. Like, it was like, that's so gay. You're like, oh my God, that's like the offensive
word. Yeah. And a lot of people still identify that way. And I'm sure there are people who don't want to be called gay because it was weaponized against them so much. And so they like these alternate terms for maybe like the broader umbrella term or whatever. So I think it's interesting that you brought that up, because I know that can be like an argument. It all just comes down to like what feels okay.
If I'm being totally honest, gay is the word that feels the most comfortable for me to use. I'm gay. That feels the most accurate to me. So another question that we got, do you think all bisexual people only acknowledge two genders? We did cover this a smidge in the episode with my ex, Aim, because this was something AIM and I talked about, because AIM does identify as trans and non-binary. We talked about this in that episode, how they kind of said to me, like, I know you identify as bisexual, but like, I'm not like crazy about that word, and here's why. And I explained back to them, I don't look at it as I only like men and women, or else we wouldn't be sitting here doing all the, you know, leg tussling that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's just like, I have the ability to be attracted to people who are like me and different than me. I think the problem is that the word does come from binary, and that sucks, but there's really just like, our society, yes, has two genders, but there's a lot of societies that don't. And so I think we just like associate it for that reason, I guess. So mm-hmm. No, not all I wouldn't say as a blanket, bisexuals are not transphobes. Not that there's mm-hmm. not any that don't exist, but like that shouldn't be your initial reaction.
Yeah. So the last question that we got for this episode is, I feel like I'm pan. Can I just say I'm pan? LMAO, weird feelings. And I think this person probably already knows what we're going to say, but Gina, what do you think?
Yeah, you can just say it, but I do get that it's kind of like weird to change things or like have to explain to people. And like, I even was saying in the beginning, like, I don't always love having to get into the details. Whereas like, mm-hmm. sometimes you don't have to have as many details when it's just black and white. I'm gay, I'm a lesbian, whatever. Yeah. But I will say this, like, I know you said this, Cheyenne, that pansexuals, bisexuals, we make up the largest part of the community. And that's science. Like if you think about the Kinsey scale or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. how it's like 1 through 6 and really nobody's a true 0 or 6 or 1 or whatever the fuck it is. I'm not a scholar, you guys. I'm just somebody with a microphone.
We're not academics.
But it is like a fact that really most of the population is going to fall somewhere in between. And if you want to be in there, in the words of Drew Gregory, join a very big club. Like we're all in there together, just like having it out. And so you can identify that way. I think like you just have to have your canned answers for when people press you on it. And that's how I get through it, of like, if somebody asks this way, I'm going to make this joke. And if a queer person asks, I might give them a real answer. And that's like my advice, is just like, know your audience.
Also, I was thinking this when you were saying about giving them like caveats and explaining to them exactly what you mean by the word pansexual and going into detail. I was thinking, if someone's like, well, what does that mean? It could be like, Google it, get a dictionary. Like you don't have to explain it to them. You can be, so, I mean, obviously that's not like the nicest thing to do, but if they're really like pushing for it or like seem judgmental or just like rude in any way and you don't want to deal with it, tell them to Google it and walk away. That's what I do. But I don't know, maybe that's just me being a little saucy.
No, you can direct people to other places. And that's the thing, is like, I am sitting here making my jokes with the microphone because I choose to be a queer educator. And I like, as much as I complain about like, I don't want to go into the details, like obviously if you're listening to my podcast, I'm happy to go into the details here that like, it's not that I'm not an open book, like I am, but it's just that like, that's a lot of openness for, you know, the first 10 minutes of a conversation with somebody sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so you are allowed to not be the educator, and that goes for anybody. Like I always advocate this for, like, especially after the Black Lives Matter movement and living in this day and age, like it is not just the underrepresented group's job to educate you. It is actually my job as a white person and an ally to educate other white people. If you are listening and you're not queer and you're just doing this for your own education, that's fucking amazing. And you should then go be that pioneer so that other queer people don't have to spend all our time explaining what the fuck pansexual means and what this means and all this stuff. Like the people who are educators, we have to lean into that role, because the people who aren't, they get to choose to not be. And so if you want to say you're pan and you don't want to explain to somebody what that means, you are absolutely allowed to take Cheyenne's route and say, I'm not the person to educate you. There's the internet. You can find something else or somebody else go find a YouTuber, go find TikToks. Like, it's all out there. Figure it out. If you are the person who's ready to like educate, just do it so that other people who don't want to don't have to. Like, especially if you're an ally,
Yes. Yeah, I agree. All right.
I'm always on my soapbox. I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad you are. They need it. I need it. We all need it.
Yeah.
All right. And I think with that, we're going to wrap up. If you have any questions for us, you can email us at sapphicsurvivalguide@gmail.com. We're on all social media at Sapphic Survival Guide, except Twitter, which is just at Sapphic Survival. So feel free to message us there. I think we check our DMs the most on Instagram, though. We also have a phone number if you want to call and leave a voice message for us to play on the podcast. Our phone number is 724-209-8877. We also have a Patreon if you want some bonus content. That is patreon.com/sapphicsurvivalguide. And please go like, rate, review everything wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps other people find us, and we really appreciate that. And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Mespian on pretty much any social media platform.
And you can find me anywhere online at The Lee Regina, including my website, theleeregina.com. And you can still listen to Hello, where we listen to podcasts. And with that, class is now dismissed.